It's time for Dishing Up Nutrition with licensed nutritionist Darlene Kvist. Each week, Darlene explains the connection between what you eat and how you feel. Stay tuned to hear practical, real-life solutions for healthier living through good nutrition. Dishing Up Nutrition is brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Slow down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy.
Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness. I'm Darlene Kvist, licensed nutritionist, and joining me today is our co-host, Cassie Wienus. And Cassie is a registered dietitian, and we are here discussing how nutrition can help symptoms associated with autoimmune conditions. So welcome, Cassie. I know that this is really going to be an interesting and I think very informative show, don't you think?
Absolutely, because 8.5 million people, 8.5 million people have at least one autoimmune condition. And we're seeing more and more people with autoimmune diseases in our nutrition practice because medication, you know, they might go on that in the beginning, but it really doesn't seem to be helping very much. They're still experiencing problems and they end up on our doorstep.
They certainly do. That's, you know, we see it more and more, don't we?
Yes. Yeah. Scary numbers in our office, I think. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get into
this. But we like it.
Well, yeah, I mean, and we like to help people get better. It's such a rewarding feeling. Before we get more into the very serious topic we have today, an informative topic, of course, I have to say hi to Riley and Marissa back home. They should be eating breakfast, sitting by the kitchen radio right now. So hi, guys.
So you got a couple of fans there, but
absolutely.
I think you have a lot more fans because I know you see clients in Wayzata, and you're going out to see clients today, aren't you?
Yep.
And then you teach a lot of classes, and you teach them in our for businesses, and you were even out to St. Michael this last month.
St. Michael, yep, community education Monday night, foods to build happy, focused kids. So, I asked to do that one because that's where we are now. That's where we live, out near St. Michael, so I just want to start getting the word out on healthy foods before my kids enter the school system.
So you had really a busy week because you did a lot of filming for some TV shows, didn't you?
I did. After teaching late Monday night, then, and I saw clients all day. I feel like you now, Doc. Saw clients all day, then I teached all night, and then, or taught all night, and then
and you cooked.
Tuesday morning got up and started cooking right away. Because you guys had me go out to White Bear Lake to film some TV. And because the boss said I needed lots of props, I was cooking. And it was fun because we did lots of samples as we taped TV on Eat This, Not That. So I would have a whole unhealthy meal. And then I cooked up a healthy lunch. And I had the unhealthy supper and the healthy supper. So I had junky food and healthy food in my kitchen that morning as I was cooking.
Say, tell the listeners about your Burger King experience we have to have tell them the story because you told me as we were coming into the studio today.
Yeah, it just, I went through the drive-thru at Burger King before I went out to White Bear Lake to do the TV filming because that was going to be my don't eat this sample for lunch.
Okay. I was going to say, you weren't going through it.
No. And I was scared, like, somebody's going to see me and they're going to think that I eat this stuff. And it really, like I said, Dudari, it felt like I was sinning to drive through the drive-thru. And I don't remember the last time I did that. But I'm looking at the menu, first of all, trying to find just a plain burger. I didn't want to spend a bunch of your money because I'm going to be expensing that receipt. And the smallest thing I could see, and maybe I didn't look hard enough, but the smallest thing I saw was a double cheeseburger. So I got the double cheeseburger right away when I said that. She asked me, well, do you want to get two? Because you can get two for, you know, whatever price.
Or a penny more or something.
Yeah, and think of how many people fall into that. And of course I said, no, I really just want one. And then I ordered the medium soft drink, and she asked me if I wanted the large. No, I just want the medium and then a medium fry. And I went and pulled up to the window, and the first thing she went to hand me was the soft drink, and it was this huge. I mean, I want to say, like, I don't know, I'm going to get it wrong. It was just the biggest glass I have ever seen, maybe 60 ounces. And I started to hand it back, and I said, no, I ordered the medium. You must have heard me wrong. And she got all happy, this young gal working at the window, and she said, no, that's the medium. We changed, and our large size is now our medium, and our large is even bigger.
Oh, wow.
And I just you know, was practically sick to my stomach just thinking of friends and family, you know, that drive through this drive-through and drink all that soda. Mm-hmm. You know, and think back, even when I was a kid, I can remember the little 8 ounce,
eight ounce,
the 12 ounce cans, mm-hmm. but the 8 ounce. Mm-hmm. And that was such a treat to get that. So, yeah, so that's my Burger King story, and I hopefully won't be driving through there anytime again soon, nor will my family members. But we taped that show, and I do want to let listeners know, because we have to watch for the upcoming playing of these shows. They're going to be really good. We taped 3 different segments. It's a cable program called Knowledge for Wellness. It's really new.
Oh, that's, yes.
Isn't that a neat name?
That's a very nice
name. The lady has a neat story on how she came to be passionate about nutrition. But anyway, started up this program, I guess, just 6 months ago. And we taped 3 different segments. They're a half hour long each. We did one on boosting your immune system. So hopefully she plays that one first, because mm-hmm. that's very applicable with flu season here. We did one all about the benefits of a good night's sleep and how to get that sleep if you're not sleeping well. And then the third segment we taped was on pain and inflammation.
Oh, perfect.
You know, and what we're talking about today, sometimes that is the telltale factor or the symptom of your autoimmune disease is the pain and inflammation. So if people want to watch these, I'm not sure exactly when they're going to be aired on TV, but you can find out if you go to knowledgeforwellness.com. So knowledgeforwellness.com.
And then we'll have the listings on our website, weightandwellness.com. So people can check those. And they were half-hour segments, weren't they?
Half-hour segments.
Yeah, so you could teach a lot in a half an hour.
Lots of great information.
Yep. So back to our topic. Let's talk about autoimmune diseases a little bit. So if you have rheumatoid arthritis, you know, dermatitis, psoriasis, Hashimoto's disease, any other thyroid problems, lupus, fibromyalgia, you know, you have what is called an autoimmune disease.
Mm-hmm. And we find in clinical practice that when we're counseling people with these autoimmune diseases, of course, we're nutritionists, right? The first thing we really need to look at is their eating habits, because oftentimes that is a big part of the problem.
Well, it's just like that Burger King example. If somebody was eating that meal that you ordered, that for most people, that ends up giving them pain and inflammation.
Absolutely. You know, the two biggest things I know you would agree that come to my mind when you think about pain and inflammation are sugar and trans fats.
Yes.
You know, that's if you don't have the autoimmune disease. If you have the autoimmune disease, we're going to talk about some additional things. But a Burger King meal like that, that bun, that ketchup, those fries, that is loaded with sugar and then the trans fats on top of it. So you really get the double whammy. And we've found in our clinical practice that a lot of people with autoimmune diseases feel so much better, not only when they give up the Burger King, but when they give up the gluten.
Right, exactly.
So to eat gluten-free, to eat low sugar, and for some people to go dairy-free really does wonders. And I know that sounds like a lot to swallow for a lot of people, but I know whenever I share with you, Dar, that sometimes I struggle to ask clients to give up both the mm-hmm. gluten and the dairy at the same time. You always look me in the eye and you say, Cassie, these people will do anything it takes to feel better.
Exactly.
And it's so true. And once I mention it to them, I sort of breathe that sigh of relief, because they say, if I'm going to feel better, no problem.
And usually in 2 weeks when they come back, they are feeling a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
That's the joy of this. And then you say, oh, well, then it's not. And they even say, well, this isn't so bad. This isn't so hard.
Because there's still a lot of wonderful things can eat.
So joining us today by phone to lend his expertise about autoimmune diseases is Dr. Thomas O'Brien. And welcome, Dr. O'Brien. It's nice to have you here on the show today.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, last year when you came on Dishing Up Nutrition, you really helped to make the connection to gluten, grains, and inflammation. And today we're going to connect, right? You're going to connect the gluten grains to autoimmune diseases. So kind of can you help listeners understand this connection? And just a personal question is, how did you get so interested and so passionate about gluten? And what's the history? Tell us your story.
Your story, yeah.
All right. Dr. David Perlmutter from Naples, Florida, a very famous neurologist, was lecturing in 2001 and talking about a particular article that had just come out in the medical journal Neurology that talked about 10 people with unrelenting migraines. And these 10 people had been on workman's compensation for an average of 8 years, meaning these people had been unable to work for an average of 8 years. And they were not malingerers. They weren't faking. They were suffering so bad that they just couldn't work. And somehow it hit me, what about the families? What's it like to be in that home when you would when the air in the home is, shh, shh, dad's got a headache, shh.
Yeah.
How are the children being raised? What, where's the vitality and the joy of life for these kids as they're growing up? And somehow that hit me. I don't know why, but it did. So I ordered that article and I read it. And what the neurologist in that article did was he took gluten out of the diet of these 10 people, and 7 out of 10 never had a headache again.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
two out of 10 had partial relief, and the last one refused the diet and continued to suffer. Mm-hmm. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but that's as far as you can go sometimes. But as a result of reading that, I looked at the references in the back of that article, and I ordered all the references, and I read those, and then I was off and running.
Okay. So then, how to make this connection between, you know, gluten sensitivity, and you know what, Cassie, maybe what we should do, and Dr. O'Brien, maybe we should tell people again, what is a gluten sensitivity?
Gluten is the family of proteins that are in wheat, rye, and barley. And those proteins, the human body is unable to break down those proteins. There's one very common one called gliadin, but there's a family of them. There are 5 common ones that we can be allergic to, and there's more than 20 proteins in those foods. But the common one is gliadin, so when a blood test is done, they look for gliadin antibodies. But it's a protein that our bodies can't break down completely. And if it can't break it down completely, it can cause a lot of damage in the intestines, and then lots of molecules get into the body through the intestines that are not supposed to be able to get in because the intestines get damaged. It's kind of like you've got potholes in the road, just small little holes, but the rainwater gets down underneath, through those holes underneath the surface of the blacktop, and eventually, you know, the dirt that's packed underneath there starts to wash away, and then you get big potholes or the road can cave in. You can get these sinkholes that develop.
Right.
Because over time, and that's what happens in our gut, is that if you get this damage in your gut, big molecules get into your bloodstream. These are the people that are allergic to 20 and 30 different foods. And when they have tests done and they find out they're allergic to everything on the planet, they get very hopeless. My God, what can I eat?
Right.
And the real truth of it is they're not allergic to 30 foods. Well, they are technically, but if you heal the gut, they're allergic to 2 or 3 foods.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the mechanism of what happens, wheat is the most common food that people can be allergic to. We now are getting numbers back that are just shocking. Somewhere between 7 out of 10 people will have a immune reaction to wheat. I mean,
seven out of 10 people?
7 out of 10. That's correct.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it?
It's shocking. It's just shocking.
That's why, you know, clinically, it seems like everyone that walks in my door these days, I'm putting on a gluten-free diet.
Yes, and that's what I encourage to our doctors in all the seminars that I teach around the world now, is that we start them off day one, gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free, caffeine-free, except for green tea.
Exactly.
And you have to start them off that way because, if you're allergic to gluten and dairy both, and you take gluten out of the diet, there's a really great analogy that comes from one of my teachers, Dr. Sid Baker. And what Dr. Baker says, if you sit down on a board that's got 5 tacks sticking out of it, you jump up really quick because it hurts a lot. Take 2 tacks out, and you don't reduce the pain by 40%. You know, it still hurts just as much when you sit down if there's still 3 tacks.
Yep.
And that's the way it is with food allergies, that you can't dabble in it. You have to go at it straight on, And then after you're starting to heal and you're feeling like $1 million, then you can go out and have a pizza and find out how lousy you feel the next day and realize, my God, that food's been slowly killing me over time.
You've been sitting on a lot of tax, haven't you?
That's right. People have been sitting on a lot of tax, and we've been trying to pull them out. That's right.
So, Cassie and Dr. O'Brien, I'm getting a signal that we have to take a quick break. Hold that. So you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, brought to you by Nutritional Weight and Wellness, a company bringing you life-changing nutrition information. If people are interested in attending Dr. O'Brien's presentation, and he's going to do a presentation, and it's going to be at Northwestern Health Science University, and the cost is only $10 for those that pre-register, and $15 at the door. And it's going to be Friday night, October 30th. And if you want to register, the number is 800-444-9998, extension 123. And really, I encourage people to sign up quickly, because last year when he was in town and did the Friday night event, he had over 250 people that came, and excellent, excellent presentation. So,
yes.
And we're going to keep our discussion going, but we'll be back in a minute here.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie Wienis, registered dietitian, and I'm here this morning with Darlene Kavis, licensed nutritionist, and our special guest, Dr. Tom O'Brien. Dr. O'Brien is an expert in gluten sensitivity and autoimmune diseases. If listeners have questions for Dr. O'Brien, please call us here at the station, 651-641-1071. Dr. O'Brien, I'm going to throw out one question that probably a lot of listeners are thinking, because I get this question in the counseling room. Clients have a hard time understanding why dairy. You know, if they grasp the gluten piece and then I say, well, you really should go dairy-free too, they don't really get it and they're resistant. How would you respond?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is be cute, and then I'll be scientific.
Okay.
Good.
Milk is meant for a cow.
I like that.
Period. And if you look at our society, one-third of our country is obese now. This is going to bankrupt our government, the healthcare system. It's going to bankrupt us, because more and more people are developing diabetes at early ages, cardiovascular disease, strokes, cognitive decline, and the major culprit, if there's any one major culprit, it's what we're putting in our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't put food in your mouth that's meant for a cow and not start looking like a cow.
Oh, okay.
Excuse me for being so blunt, but let's get a grip on this. A cow's protein molecule is 8 times the size of human breast milk protein molecules.
Mm.
It's 8 times bigger. And a cow has 2 stomachs to digest it and break it down into a small enough portions that it's usable. We don't have 2 stomachs, and we can't break that molecule down very well. It is a contributor. It's not the only cause, of course. I mean, you hit it right on the head earlier, Kathy, when you were talking about soft drinks. I mean, there are so many culprits that come into play here. And in third world countries, cow's milk is very important as a food source, because it's hard to get quality food. And so there have been lots of studies over the last 50 years that show that cow's milk saves lives. You know, you feed babies and you keep them alive. But
sure.
We now know in our country, in the industrialized countries, especially in the U.S., cow's milk is a major contributor to diabetes in infants, that sets them up for diabetes and the autoimmune type of diabetes. Cow's milk causes obesity. Cow's milk causes eczema. You know, there's studies out now, and I talk about it in my autoimmune seminar for doctors, that 43% of children now develop eczema within the first 6 months of life.
Mm-hmm. Wow, 43%
now. 43%. When they are breastfed only, it's 15%.
Mm.
Do you think there's a connection with what we're putting in those babies' mouths?
Yeah.
You know, excuse me for being blunt, but, I mean, someone's got to say, wake up, America, and let's start putting the kind of foods into our body that God made for us to, and excuse me, I'm not religious, and I don't mean to sound religious here, but there's common sense laws of nature, And then there's what's comfortable for us and what we like. I like my pizza.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yes. So, Dr. O'Brien, let's take a quick call here. Good morning, Jen. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition.
Thank you, and thanks for taking my call. I love what he just said. I mean, he just said exactly what I was thinking. And much like our bodies aren't meant for cow milk, I think gluten was never designed for us to digest. I think that, like I think you guys have said on the show in previous shows, that gluten's been doubled. They've used more gluten as a preservative in food. Well, and in Europe, they use it for wallpapering walls, which should tell us what it's doing inside of our intestines.
Very true. That's very true. They in Poland and other city, or other countries, perhaps, they just wet wheat flour and they use it as a paste for wallpaper.
Certainly. And I can remember my, you know, this is like 60 years ago. I can remember my mother doing that. And it's when she was wallpapered. Sure.
Yeah.
Yep. That's exactly what she used.
Yeah.
So I got off gluten myself due to so many health problems. And I, after listening to your show, the light bulb went off and I stopped eating gluten. And I didn't have to go and have a blood test or go to a doctor to find that out. I just tested it myself, and I can't tell you how many people I recommend, you know, I think you should consider going off gluten. They'll go to their doctor, find out, well, I'm not allergic to gluten.
Yeah.
And they, you know, and just like he said, you can lead the horse to the water, but you can't force them to drink. I think it's the same situation. People will believe wholeheartedly what their physicians are telling them, and they're not trying to see what happens when they stop eating a certain food. When for gluten sensitivity, it's rare that it shows up in blood. Am I right?
Exactly.
Good point that you bring up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very true. And the blood tests are very accurate to identify celiac disease and gluten sensitivity if they have total villus atrophy. The villus are the shags of the shag carpeting of your intestines, and if they're all worn down completely, the blood tests are very accurate. But if they're only partially worn down or not yet wearing down, an earlier stage of it, the blood test can be wrong up to 7 out of 10 times. The sensitivity is 33% if there's partial villus atrophy.
So it really means, Dr. O'Brien, if somebody's had celiac disease or gluten sensitivity for 50 years, it's probably going to test positive in the blood. If they've only had it for, say, 6 or 7 years, you know, it's going to be a, it's not going to be
it's
a
not going to show,
show
up.
That's
yes,
right.
Yes, and that's not 6 or 7 years old.
That's right. That's,
it could be 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, and the blood test can be wrong most of the time.
Yes, that's what we're finding very, very frequently.
You know, Darlene, as you know, I'm on the teaching faculty of the Institute for Functional Medicine, and our goal is to teach physicians the 30,000-foot view of looking at a patient so that you don't get caught just with their symptoms. And my area is on gastrointestinal health, along with my teaching partner, who's one of your local doctors, Dr. Tom Salt.
Mm-hmm.
And we teach about the gut and how it's affected by gluten. And it's so often the case that you have to get away from the symptoms to find the cause of the problem. And if you're looking for total villus atrophy, you're going to miss the diagnosis many, many times.
Exactly. Yes. Very good. So you know what? Yes, we have to take a quick break.
And we have lots of callers
yes,
on the line, so stay on the line.
So
please.
You are listening to Dishing Up Nutrition. You know, the holiday season, it can be a very difficult time to stay with healthy eating. And Nutritional Weight and Wellness has scheduled our 6-week weight and wellness class series starting this week of November 2nd. And the classes will give you information and support to make good food choices so that you can actually enjoy the holiday season. You know, I think the only thing, and I hear this from clients over and over, the only thing more stressful than worrying about your food choices is worrying about fitting into your holiday dress.
Mm-hmm.
So questions or about the class or to sign up, you can sign up by calling 651-699-3438, and we'll be back in a minute.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
So come on, get higher, loosen my lips, faith and desire, and the swing of your hips. Just pull me down hard and drown me in love.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition and our discussion about gluten sensitivities and autoimmune diseases. Before we get back into that topic, though, you know, Dar was mentioning how stressful it can be for us women, which guys just don't get it. But it can be stressful when you're worrying about what you're going to wear for the holidays, how you're going to look, and if you're going to fit into that holiday dress. So holidays are approaching really fast. If you want to get a handle on it now, go to our website, weightandwellness.com. We have some wonderful classes that will teach you how to rev up your metabolism, how to reduce, or if you're like me, how to totally eliminate your carb cravings. And you're going to learn what healthy fats you can eat that actually help you slim your waistline. I think the best classes or series of classes to learn all of this information is our Weight and Wellness series. That's our six-week series. But if you can't commit that much time, even if you can just take a one-night class, especially the Jumpstart Your Metabolism class, This is the time to do it before we really get into Christmas shopping and Thanksgiving and all of that. So again, if you're interested, check out our website, weightandwellness.com. You're going to leave class feeling empowered, and knowledge is power, and that's what's going to help you make the changes. And if you have questions for us today at the studio, 651-641-1071.
So, Dr. O'Brien, I have a question. What are some of the health conditions that can show up for people that have a gluten sensitivity? And this could be the next 3 or 4 days that you could be talking, right?
Actually, it's my life.
I can tell. I love the passion that you have.
Yeah, well, thank you. And prior to answer that, may I just say, and thanks for announcing at the beginning of the show about this talk I'm giving Friday night. It was part, as a result of the contribution of you ladies last year, that we had 270 people there, and it was a wonderful evening, and there were some people crying because they finally realized why they had miscarriages and many other things. The talk I'm doing this year on October 30th to the lay audience is going to be, why don't I feel great on a gluten-free diet? And what is it that stops people from feeling like $1 million? And part of it is they've got autoimmune diseases, and they just don't know it. As a result of eating gluten for so long, they've developed autoimmune diseases. And I'll talk about probably 6 or 7 out of the 12 main reasons why people don't feel great on a gluten-free diet in that two-hour talk on October 30th. I just want to make sure that folks know about that, because I think it's empowering for people to have an understanding, and it helps them be motivated enough to make a declaration of how they want to feel different, and then go forward with trying these things that are not difficult. And as you said earlier, Darlene, in 2 weeks, they feel so much better.
Yes.
So now, is what, Dr. Brian, before you even answer my first question, is one of the reasons possibly that people switch to eating a lot of gluten-free products? You know, they go to, but they're still eating processed carbohydrates. They're not eating sweet potatoes and broccoli and all these vegetables. Is that one of them?
That is so funny. You know, some people gain weight on a gluten-free diet.
Exactly.
And there's doctors out there saying, well, you really shouldn't go gluten-free because you're going to gain weight. What nonsense. There is no physiology that causes people to gain weight on a gluten-free diet. What happens is that people are no longer able to eat the foods that they're used to, and so they feel entitled to have gluten-free blueberry muffins.
Yeah.
And, you know, instead of having one muffin a week, now they have one a day or two a day because they're gluten-free. And
exactly.
They rationalize that they can eat them. What nonsense. That's a really funny one.
Yes.
And I'm certainly guilty of that. I mean, back in the 1980s, I was eating a pint of Häagen-Dazs 3 or 4 nights a week. You know, I was working so hard, and I'd come home and I'd want some comfort food, so I'd eat Häagen-Dazs. But I would only eat honey vanilla because there was no sugar in it.
Oh, sure. We can justify anything, can't we?
I would rationalize in my own mind, you know, and I'm sharing that story because for your listeners, they rationalize.
Yes.
As opposed to being sensible, you know, common sense things like what Kathy's talking about in her classes that she's giving. Kathy's going to talk about common sense stuff, folks.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
She's not going to talk about living on brown rice and sprouts.
Right.
She's going to talk about have a blueberry muffin once every 3 or 4 days, not twice a day.
Well, right. Maybe we would only go once a week at the most.
Oh, there you go. Okay. So, you know, I mean, there's just common sense stuff, and we feel so entitled in our culture to eat whatever we want, and as a result, we look like cows, and we've got so much disease that it's killing us as a culture, and it's affecting how our politicians think. and how they interact with other politicians around the world. And if we're going to change this world, I think we start by looking at every forkful of what we put in our mouth.
We totally agree, and that's exactly our philosophy at Nutritional Weight and Wellness.
Yes.
And that's what we really try to do is educate people on how to just eat real food.
That's right.
People have
that's
gotten
right.
so far away from eating real food.
You know, I tell the doctors in my seminar, and by the way, the all-day seminar on Saturday is on autoimmune diseases explicitly.
And we'll be
autoimmune
there.
Diseases are the number three cause of morbidity and mortality in the world now. Number three cause of feeling lousy and
yep.
dying.
Mm-hmm.
Number three after heart disease and cancer.
Wow.
And, Kathy, you said earlier 8%, and it actually the numbers are, you said 8 million people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The numbers now, according to the National Institute of Health, it's 8% of the United States population, which is 24 million people have autoimmune diseases, but only one out of three are diagnosed. So that
right.
means there's 72 million people out there walking around with autoimmune diseases. And what I talk about in my all-day event is how do you arrest, meaning stop the progression of it, and many times reverse it. And so that's what I'll be teaching doctors on that Saturday. But on the Friday night, it's why don't I feel great on a gluten-free diet? And I'm going to talk about how autoimmune diseases contribute to that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in direct answer to your question about what kind of symptoms might gluten sensitivity cause, there are a number of studies that say gluten sensitivity may affect any and every cell of the body.
Okay.
So that means any brain dysfunction, from Alzheimer's to attention deficit to autism, any kidney dysfunction from nephritis to kidney cancer, any liver dysfunction from autoimmune hepatitis to hepatic carcinomas, and there was a study that came out from Mayo Clinic on that one, those folks in your backyard,
mm-hmm.
any musculoskeletal, meaning your joints and pain, any skin condition. I mean, there are hundreds. There's over 18,000 research articles now published on gluten sensitivity and different parts of the body it can affect. So,
and I know on Saturday you're going to share all those research studies, aren't you?
Well, a number of them, yes. That's my style, is study after study after study.
And he goes fast, so come, you know, with a cup of coffee so you're alert. No, that was great last year. And, you know, for all the nurses and health professionals listening, you can really rack up some CEUs by going to Dr. O'Brien's session on Saturday.
Exactly.
Oh, thank you. And for those doctors and nurses and office staff that come on Friday night, please bring your cards with you, your business cards, because what we did last year, because people ask me, how do we know who these doctors are? Because I asked if there are any doctors in the audience, a bunch of them raise their hands, and people want to know, who are these doctors who are here and that are interested in this topic? And so at the end of the talk, I had them come up to the front of the room in one side, and anyone that wanted to meet these docs and find out what they know or what
yes.
they think about, come up in the corner. And there were about 70 people up there talking after the evening was over.
Right.
So docs and nurses and office staff, bring your cards, and people come prepared if you want to meet a doctor that knows and interested and is interested in gluten sensitivity.
Connection. Oh, that's wonderful.
So you know what? We do have to take another break, but when we come back, and I know people have been waiting to ask
yeah.
some questions, and we'll catch some callers when we get back. So you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, and here's some new interesting research. You know, a new study reported that long-term use of regular use of a multivitamin, that doesn't mean just doing it once a week, may reduce the risk of dying from a heart disease by 16%. And another study found that C-reactive protein, you know, that's the marker for inflammation, and it's called CRP. And that is reported to be an independent predictor of cardiovascular problems, is lower when people's blood levels have omega-3s in them.
Mm-hmm.
And when the higher the omega-3s, the lower the CRP. So, you know, what did I just say about that, all that? Well, this is what I'm really saying, is people have less inflammation in their blood vessels and in their body when they have higher levels of omega-3s in their blood.
Yes.
So,
may I comment on that?
Sure.
Yes.
Fish oils are a baseline foundational approach to most any health concern you have, almost any health concern, because fish oils are anti-inflammatory. That's the omega-3s.
Exactly.
And with brain function, with cardiovascular disease, with healing the gut, with celiac disease, we always counsel our docs to give fish oils and evaluate whether or not they should be taking even more fish oils. They raise the good cholesterol. They lower the bad cholesterol. They improve cognitive function, your thinking ability. They reverse the loss of memory. There are so many studies on the benefits of fish oils.
Great.
What? We totally agree. We love it.
I'm taking more cod liver oil when I get home.
So we'll be back in a minute here.
FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Hey, baby girl, I've been watching you all day.
Welcome back to Dishing Up Nutrition. I'm Cassie Wienus, registered dietitian, and I'm here with Darlene Kavis, licensed nutritionist. And if you're just joining us, we have a special guest with us, Dr. Tom O'Brien, who is an international speaker on the health problems a gluten sensitivity can cause. We are going to get to callers in just a minute, but just wanted to share with listeners, because probably most people don't know that exactly a month and one day ago today, my little 3.5-year-old was diagnosed with celiac.
And we're not going to get through this because it is just an emotional thing, isn't it? And, you know, I have a granddaughter, Willow, that is also, she's 7 years old, and she has a gluten sensitivity as long and also other sensitivities. So I think that it is something that is, it's to begin with, it's really emotional. But I think one of the things that, you know, one of the comments that you made earlier, Cassie, about all this is that, you know, maybe in the long run with that diagnosis that she won't be driving through the Burger King drive-thru.
Right, right. Hopefully there's a silver lining there.
I think so.
That's my comment also, Kathy. My response would be congratulations that you've gotten the right diagnosis in such an early point in his development, so that you will change the development of his brain. You change the development of his skeletal structure. And as you know, the skull structure is different for many celiacs compared to others, and how it affects the brain, no one knows. You've got a window here, and you found it in time, because he's less than 5 years old, so that he can develop to his potential, to his full potential.
And I think that is just beautiful. I mean, because, you know, it's like you are being a really strong parent, and sometimes it is hard to do this stuff. It's really strong. You have to really be a strong parent when you realize that something is going wrong, and to make these food choices and to change it makes a big difference.
And thank both of you, and thanks to people like Dar and Tom, because had I not known what I know through working with Nutritional Weight and Wellness, I'm sure I would have ended up doing the endoscopy that I actually did have scheduled for a while. And being that young, I'm sure there's not the villus atrophy yet, but who the heck wants to let it get that bad before you get the official diagnosis?
So that's exactly right.
Yeah, we went with some stool testing, and yes.
Yes, we found it. Congratulations again, Kathy.
Well, thank you. That makes me feel better.
His vitality, you know, and by the way, that reminds me, I need to say hello to my nephew, Antonio, ciao. My nephew is listening to your show from Detroit, Michigan right now.
Oh, great.
Wonderful.
And my nephew is 7 years old, and he's really a good example of what happens when a young person is educated early, that when they don't feel bad, or when they feel bad, and his mom says, what did you eat?
Yep.
And then they talk about it, and he realizes that there was a certain food that may not have been good for him. And then the next time he doesn't feel good, and his mom says, what did you eat? And he sees that it's the same thing he ate last time. They're really smart about it, and they're not going to poison themselves because they know they don't feel so good.
Well, you know, Dr. O'Brien, I just took my granddaughters to Disney World, and almost every restaurant that we went to, we could say, do you have a gluten-free menu? And they said, oh, yes. And then the chef would come out and talk to us.
Yes.
And it was just like...
Oh, and I bet Willow thought that was great if the chef came and talked to
the table. Yes, she did.
And there's one more thing I'd like to say, actually directly to you, Kathy, is that when I look parents in the eye and I tell them what their child has, the whole family goes gluten-free.
Yes.
You can't have wheat in the house where someone's eating and the others are not, because that makes mom now learn to make gluten-free breads that are really good.
Yep.
And there's lots of cookbooks, lots of recipes on this, and you know this, and the whole family does it, and it's not a burden. after a while. Once you've got the system down, you thrive, and you wonder, how come so many people are poisoning themselves?
Well, I think the other bottom line is, Dr. Brian, and I find this in our family with Willow, is that we eat a lot more fruits and vegetables, especially vegetables, especially, you know, things like sweet potatoes and squash, and the higher carbohydrate vegetables replace all that bread products, and fruit replaces the desserts.
Now, I mean, folks, that sounds boring. To many people, that sounds boring. I tell you, study after study after study demonstrates if you're a woman and you want to be a babe, or if you're a guy and you want to walk around and have some muscle strength, you eat vegetables, a pound of vegetables a day as an adult. Right. Five different colors, always five different colors, because every color is a different family of antioxidants and polyphenols. Five different colors, not just a bag of carrots. But women, you start looking like babes, meaning the fat comes off your midsection. And guys, you stop carrying a spare tire around your midsection.
Well, you know, and when I was at Disney World, I noticed that our guys are in trouble. Lots of middles. So, yeah. You know what, Dr. Brian, let's take a caller. Hi, Mary. Welcome to Dishing Up Nutrition. You've been on the line a long time.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you have this show. I have a daughter who's 19 now. When she was 12, she was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
She was breastfed till she was 2.5, almost 3 years old. But, you know, she did start drinking milk, you know, after 3. What can I do now to convince her that I really think she needs to go gluten-free? But she's in college, and of course, the college food is horrendous.
Is she in college in Minnesota? I mean, locally?
In Wisconsin. Pretty cool. Yeah, I see her almost every weekend.
Well,
Wisconsin,
hey.
Oh, my God, that's the cheesehead country.
River Falls is where she's at.
So, you know, have her come to the Friday night, October 30th,
yes,
presentation by Dr. O'Brien.
Okay.
And if that doesn't convince her, I mean, yeah, with his passion.
Oh, seriously, last year, and my Christina that used to work for us said the same thing. We walked out of there, and, you know, this is before Riley's diagnosis, before I know what I know now. And Christina and I looked at each other, and we're like, oh, my gosh, everybody needs to go gluten-free. I mean, you just,
yes,
he does have such passion.
Well,
interestingly enough, she's also ADD.
Yes, of course.
There's no surprises here.
No, no surprises.
Yeah, from October 30th.
And there's one more answer to you, if I may. I have a DVD that I put together, because when a mom comes in with her child and we find out the diagnosis and I tell mom what's ahead and mom's convinced, she goes home and she tells her husband, and dad says, what do you mean we're going gluten-free?
Yeah.
What kind of nonsense is that? And so I put together a DVD that's me talking for 2.5 hours with the studies and the visuals on what is this thing, gluten sensitivity, and we have found that it's helped compliance amongst families quite a bit. And
that
DVD is available at www.thedoctor.com, T-H-E-D-R, thedoctor.com. So excuse me for saying that.
No, that's fine.
No,
that's
I'm going to order that, too, because I have went gluten-free. You know, you made that suggestion.
What
it's the husband
DVD
that...
There's only one on the website, and it's called Unlocking the Mysteries of Gluten Sensitivity.
Okay, good.
All right, great. Thanks for holding on today and good comments.
Can you give the phone number for how to register for the talk?
Sure. It's 800-444-9998, extension 123.
Thank you.
Okay, great. So we do have to take a quick break, you know, you're listening to Dishing Up Nutrition, and, I have noticed that when attending meetings and social events, the winter cough has already started. People are home with the flu, the cold, the cough, and nutrition makes a difference. So spend 90 minutes with us and learn how to build your immune function so you're not the one coughing and coughing and coughing. And we have some immune classes coming up. It's Monday night, October 26th in St. Paul, Thursday night in Wayzata in White Bear Lake, and that's October 29th. And just bring the whole family and just come on in, sign up online. Our website is weightandwellness.com, and we'll be back in a minute.
Living Life Out Loud on FM 107.1. Laugh along.
Welcome back. It's been a real treat having Dr. O'Brien on the show today, and I especially thank you for your kind words to me. You've given me some inspiration. And I want to invite the listeners again to join him Friday night. That's October 30th. Again, if you want to register for this presentation on Friday, you can call 1-800-444-9998. And just to remind all of you listeners, if you have an autoimmune problem, we have helped hundreds of people at our office have less pain, have more energy, clear up their irritable bowel, lift their depression, and just all out feel good again. And we help people make these changes through their eating habits. And I can guarantee you that we will send you home with gluten-free, dairy-free recipes that are delicious. Now, if we didn't get to your call today, I apologize. This hour goes way too fast. But I'll be at the office. I do have a couple of clients I'm seeing today, but I have a little bit of time in between. So I'd love to answer any calls that we didn't get to today. You can call me at Wyzetta 952-345-0766.
So, Dr. O'Brien, just repeat some of this again. How many people now today have a gluten sensitivity?
We know that it's somewhere around 7 out of 10 people that present to doctor's offices. So those that have a concern, a health concern.
A health concern, 7 out of 10 people.
Yes.
And a lot of those presenting people have autoimmune diseases, right?
Autoimmune, yes. As I've said, autoimmune disease is the number 3 cause of morbidity and mortality. That means feeling lousy and dying. And autoimmune diseases are 10 times more common if you've got gluten sensitivity.
Thanks for joining us.